Well, it has really been quite a full week. I know for many of you, it certainly has been for me. We had a wonderful time, you know, right in here, as we, on Wednesday, we said goodbye to Margaret Crawford. We had a wonderful memorial service, and the week went on. Many of you know that I am part of a team. Rex was not with us this time, but Rex has been part of that for a number of times as well. Doing church planting assessment. So meeting with prospective church planter candidates with the CNBC. And it is always a very enjoyable time, but it's also, I find, a very intense time. It's kind of an emotional time because, you know, you get to know these people and you hear their stories, and we do a lot of probing and digging, affirming, interviews and lots of questions, and sometimes dealing with very personal and private things, because we really want to ensure that the candidates are really living what they are saying and are people of integrity and so on. So that occupied all Thursday and Friday and into Friday night. And then we had the wonderful privilege of going to the wedding of Colburn and Rachel. And I know some of you were at that, and as Paul mentioned, several decided to stay over in Edmonton. So it really has been a wonderful week. It's been a challenging week as well. And I also find Mother's Day, for me, is a very, very emotional time, and I'm trying to hold it together. When Arlene just arrived this morning, I wasn't holding it together very well. So I think I'm holding it together now. She wasn't the one who made me cry, but somehow she knows, and she knows that this time for me is also a very deeply emotional time. And it's an emotional time for many, and we often talk about that on Mother's Day. It's a time when, obviously, for many women, it's a time where you feel honored and so on. But sometimes you've got, as Janet mentioned, you know, you've got those very deep and very personal, sometimes hurts and challenges with maybe kids who are not walking with God, or maybe being estranged from kids. Obviously, there are women who would like to be mothers and have never had the opportunity. There probably are some who are mothers and wish they never had the opportunity, but that's another story. And so there are all of these things that go on. But I'm going to invite you to express something with me this morning. And here's the question, or really the statement. If someone went through labor for you, please stand up. If someone experienced the pains of labor for you, please stand up. Okay. All right. Some of you are just trying to understand this kind of thing. It might have been a cesarean, but let me assure you it was still challenging. All right. Thanks. Now, I realize there might have been something lost in translation. And I was looking out at a few, I think, biological miracles, because there were some of you that said, you know what? I'm alive and standing here and nobody went through labor for me. Well, we might have to have a conversation to sort of explain, you know, some of those things. Now, why do I say that? The reason I say that is this, that Mother's Day is not only about whether you are a mom and whether, you know, people give and do all the things that you want, but Mother's Day is a day when we honor, you know, the women who brought us into being. And whether the circumstances were absolutely idyllic and wanted and the timing was perfect, or whether the circumstances were not and were undesirable and any number of things that can occur, we are still indebted to these very, very precious women. And so this morning, very simply, I want us to think of the theme. Or really, in some ways, it's just a statement, it's always the right thing to do. And what is that? And that is to give them honor. And so we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 3, it's a text that we often quote to our children. And I have to be honest that I'm sort of preaching this message for somewhat selfish reasons today. And that is because even though I think I had this figured out years ago, when I was growing up, and I'm not saying I always obeyed it. There are many times I didn't. There are many times that I didn't honor my parents and obey them as I should. But Arlene and I now, we're at a season in life where everything is turning. And our parents are now getting very up in years, and I know some of you are at that stage as well. and we think through, well, okay, it's almost like we have to re-figure this out. What does it mean to honor our parents now? What about obedience to our parents now? If you're younger, well, okay, it's fairly straightforward. If you're in your teen years, it's kind of a little bit different. When you're an adult, it's even different still. And then when your parents are kind of getting up in years and you find that you are starting to have to make decisions that when you start to think about it, you shake your head and you say, you know what, this really starts to feel like I'm a parent all over again. And how do you do that in a way that still respects their honor and shows dignity? And that's one of the challenges. So Ephesians chapter 6, here's the text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now notice that interesting phrase, in the Lord. Now you could look at it in a sense, one way to think of it is, in the Lord, in the sense as much as our parents are, let's say, an agreement or principles in a way that are consistent with our Lord. I think, though, what it's really saying is that respect and obey your parents in the Lord in the sense that they really do represent. God has ordained, whether it's government, whether it's, you know, schools, education, whether it's parents, and all of these things as fundamental to our growing up and our development as people of God, as children as well. So what do we do? Well, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Interesting, by the way, sometimes we say, well, Paul doesn't have an emphasis on law. He's all about grace. Well, what is he quoting? He's quoting Exodus chapter 20, part of the Ten Commandments, the fifth command. Honor your father and mother, the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, that's both a promise, but it's also a caution, which does suggest that if we don't obey our parents, if we don't honor our parents, that some things in life are not going to go well for us. And so there's a warning and there's a blessing that's provided. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm not going to read through the text, and today I don't have all of the scriptures on the PowerPoint. I'm going to read several, I will summarize several. But the text that the Apostle Paul provides here about obedience and about honoring, just before, all through Ephesians chapter 5, you know, Paul has been talking about the fact that when we become a believer in Christ, we know that we're given a new nature, right? We are new creatures in Christ. He uses the metaphor of light and darkness, and he says in Ephesians 5:8, as you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. He goes on and he talks about not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit of God. And if I were to say, well, what's the primary evidence of being filled with the Spirit? He says, submitting to one another, you know, out of reverence for Christ. There are all of these attitudes that he's bringing up. And it's out of that context that then Paul begins to address different groupings. He says, you know, wives, this is how you are to relate to your husbands in the Lord, you know, submitting to your husband's leadership. But he then goes on and talks, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then he goes on and he talks about children. What are we to do? What is our responsibility? The point that he's making is this, that there really needs to be something very distinct and very different within a Christian family. Now, it's not only the case, even if you're in a family where, let's say, your parents do not know and love the Lord, the principle still applies. The point is this, that when we are children of God, we don't pick up our values from the world around us, but we pick them up from what the Scriptures have to say. It talks about obedience. It talks about honoring. In Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother. Here's the context. Moses is giving them the law. God is giving them, if you like, all of the terms of the covenant. What are they to be like as the people of God, as they've been rescued from Egypt, and they're now in this sort of interim period, they're in the wilderness, and Moses is preparing them, and God is now giving them, in a sense, it's like the constitution of their new society. And right smack in the middle is what is he saying? He's talking about the importance of home. He's talking about the relationship between children and parents. You know, one of the things that I I've always struck with every time I go to one of these church planters assessments. And any of you who have ever done this, maybe you've been part of an HR committee, or you've done interviews with people who are looking for jobs and so on. And you know the situation. Well, let me tell you, in the church planting assessment, wow, there is a difference when you meet some of these, you know, people who are going into church planting, and you start to probe and dig and find out what was their home life like. You find home situations in some cases that were broken, and no surprise, you discover that there's a lot of brokenness that sometimes needs to be addressed and needs to be corrected or experience healing before they're able to really be involved in leadership. But there are other situations where they grow up in godly homes, and you know, sometimes the home situation is quite surprising. I'm not going to give the name, but I interviewed one couple, an amazing, amazing couple, African couple. They've lived in various African countries, but predominantly in Uganda. They came to Canada. They have lived in Ottawa for a number of years, been involved in kind of a social, both of them in sort of a social work-related field, but also very involved in a church, and they founded their own charity called A Cup for Africa, with a board of directors, very well run and all of this, so that we're talking very, very high-level leadership. And they, in addition to all of these things, are wanting to plant now, and they are in the midst of planting a church in Edmonton. And the thing that was astonishing to me, when I was asking him about his family, and you know what he said, one of the primary influencers of his life? It was his mother, Rachel, no surprise to you, an African woman, godly woman. And again, interesting in our context, because this is not part of the way that we are, let's say, very familiar, but she was a pastor. No surprise, Rachel, for you either, right? And that is the influence of a godly woman not only in the home, but in this case, in an African context, she was leading a church congregation. And he cited the incredible impact that that woman had in his life. Now, he didn't talk about, and I didn't probe about his father. But the thing that I found so exciting and so encouraging was that no matter what the context that you find yourself in, if you have a heart for God and you want to do what you can to raise your family, sure, it's great if you're in a setting that you've got a mom and a dad and everything is all working out perfectly. But you know what? What if your home life is not? What if you're in a situation where you are the only believer and you feel the limitations and you are struggling and you're wondering and worrying and saying, God, how are my kids going to turn out? But you know what? God is able. God is able to work through you. And if you've got a heart for God, he can make up for all of those sufficiencies. Remember that phrase in that song, weak made strong, you know, through the Father's love and grace. And that is very true. It isn't always easy to love and obey and respect our parents. And why is that? Let me give you a couple of very quick reasons. Number one, we've absorbed the values of our culture. Rick Warren, and I found quite a bit of help in listening to one of his sermons on this theme and several others, but Rick Warren made an observation. He said that Western culture, and that's the culture that we are living in, he said Western culture is the only one that doesn't respect its elders. Now, he might be overstating it, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, some of you come from an Asian culture. Some of you come from an African culture. And in those contexts, elders, the older you get, the more respect you receive. Tragically, in a Western culture, which is much more individualistic, in a Western culture, it's much more about me and my advancement and my success and my happiness, my fulfillment and my pleasure. And you know what? If someone is, let's say, disabled or somebody who is getting older and they have dementia and they become an inconvenience or they become problematic, we can easily sideline them or we can even laugh at them and make fun of them. And I think he's right. But let's remember that what the Apostle Paul is talking about, he's not talking about a Western individualistic culture. He's talking to you and me, and he's talking about that in the church, in the body of Christ and when we are believers, there needs to be a different attitude. You know, we sometimes pose the question, are we in the last days? Well, 2 Timothy says it like this, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And then notice how he describes these times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. And then he adds this phrase, disobedient to parents. Wow. Now, the other side of it is that sometimes the problem is not only out in the secular world, the problem is that there's a problem within me. It was interesting, at the wedding yesterday, the wedding devotional was pretty deep. And the speaker was referencing one particular comment, for example, of Martin Luther, and I think he even quoted it in Latin, and I'm not going to try. But the essence of what he said is that there is a part of us that turns inward. In other words, we turn within ourselves and we govern everything based on ourselves. Well, the problem is that within you and me, there is a whole lot of self-centeredness. The fact is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that self-centeredness causes disrespect and disobedience. On a lighter note, there was a mother who was preparing pancakes for her sons, but it illustrates the point. Their names were Kevin and Ryan, and the boys were arguing, as young boys would do, about who would get the very first of the pancakes. And so moms, you know, moms are they have a special ability to always look for a teachable moment. And so mom thought to herself, and this is what she said. She said, boys, if Jesus were here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. We've all done it. I mean, confession is good for the soul. I kid you not. Your pastor, when he was very young, I must have been around 5 years of age. My brother was 2 years older, and I was a very helpful brother. I would happen to walk by his piggy bank. I don't know how it happened, but I would knock it over. And then, as a very helpful younger brother would do, I was the one that offered to help him to pick them up. And guess what I did with some of the change? There's something about that, isn't there? There's something about that within all of us. As we seek to obey and respect our parents, here are a couple of things. And I'm going to just run by a number of points very quickly. Number one, realize that every parent is flawed. Every parent is flawed. If you're a parent here today and you say, you know what, I feel like a failure, that's okay because you are. The fact is, so am I. You're not a failure in your identity, but all of us have failed. Do you understand that? Okay. And so give your parents some space. You know, give them some credit. They're flawed. You know, my parents were flawed. My mom, not as much. My dad, a whole lot more so. But you know what? So am I. Flawed. We are indebted to them for our lives. You know, for reasons that you don't recognize and that I don't really recognize, God chose and had a reason for bringing two people together, whatever the circumstances, for bringing two people together in such a way that both of their DNA was needed in order to make your unique DNA. And you are who you are today in all of your uniqueness, all of your attributes, all of your liabilities, all of your flaws, your appearance, your personality, everything about it. God had a plan in mind. Psalm 139, when he says it so well, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, sometimes there are accidents that cause births, but there are no children who are accidents. God had a reason, and sometimes we will not get and understand it. But I am who I am. Because years ago, God chose to bring together an airline pilot and a stewardess, neither of which could speak the other's language. And he brought them together, and for some reason that only God really knows and understands, he produced somebody who ultimately is here in front of you today. And it's the same with you as well. And we have to be careful never to lose sight of it. And so when we honor our parents, we are honoring the God who designed you. And you are honoring the God who brought them together. And when we dishonor our parents, or if we disobey or disrespect our parents, we have to recognize that we also are dishonoring and disrespecting the very instruments that God used to bring you and I into existence. Now, let's think of something for a moment. Our relationship with our parents changes as we grow older. I mean, if you are 40 years of age, Al, and your mother says to you, you're 40 years of age, and she says, now, Al, you know, this is what you are to do. Do you have to obey? Well, no, not necessarily. You're an adult. You have a choice. But you still respect them, right? If you're younger, yeah. Obedience, absolutely. That's the way it is, okay? Now, a lot of our youngest are out right now and are not here. And so I guess I'm going after those of you right now who are in junior high, middle school. But, yeah, obedience is required. It's challenging as we get older. And in our teen years, sure, obedience is still needed. But there's also the parenting has been described as sort of a gradual letting go process. But we still respect them. And as long as we're in the home, yes, we're obedient to them. Challenging as that might be. Remember Mark Twain, he said it really well. You've probably heard this stated before, and he said this. I like it. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But then he said, when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. So who learned? Was it the dad? Probably not. But, I mean, it's true, isn't it? I mean, you right now, you might be at that, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and you kind of wonder and you think, oh, man, they don't really get it. And then you, maybe you leave home and you start to experience your own independence and you have to make your own choices and you get to be 21 or older. And I tell you, it does happen even as you get way older in life. And now you look back and you say, wow. You know, my parents had a whole lot more going on upstairs. The lights were on more than off, and I didn't realize it. And that's often how it works. Proverbs is full, and if you want to jot a few down, I'm just going to simply summarize. But Proverbs 23:22 says this, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother. And notice this, do not despise your mother when she is old. So what we're hearing then is it's not just something to do when you're a young person. In fact, when it says in Exodus chapter 20, when it says, children, obey your parents, that it may go well with you in the land that you're going to possess. The whole context of Exodus 20 is probably not talking about young children. It's talking about what happens in extended families in an agrarian economy. It's a very different context from our very individualistic culture here today, where your ultimate welfare and security, as long as you were young, was in your home. But guess what happened? The parents stayed with the kids, and the kids then would look after the parents. And so when it's talking about children honoring your parents, it had more to do not so much when you were young and they were older than you, but it's when everything was now flipped and when they were now older and you were the one who was responsible to look after them and to care for them. You know something? I don't want to embarrass you, gentlemen, but this is exactly what's going on here, Brett, with you and your dad. And it's wonderful to see. That's the kind of thing that we want to see happening, folks. That's the way that we are to treat and respond and to care for and respect our parents. And so the attitude applies, and it may not be very popular, and we may want to sideline that and view that as an inconvenience, but if that's the way we treat it, we are not reflecting the character of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God calls us to honor and to respect and to provide, whether it's material or whether it's emotional or whether it's the gift of time. And here's one reason we do it. It's not why we do it so much, but it is a principle that what goes around comes around. And this is what we hear in the text. He says, "The children, obey and honor your parents for what? It is the first command with a promise." And in some way, our health, our own, somehow how things go in our lives, why we live in the land, these promises apply, and somehow I reap what I sow. And I not only reap it in my own life, but we also reap it in our children's lives and in our grandchildren. How we treat our parents, guess what, has a lot to do with how our children are going to treat us and how our grandchildren are going to treat us as grandparents and will treat their own parents. In a sense, what goes around comes around. That it may go well with you. In 1 Timothy, let me wrap up with this scripture. It says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Proverbs 23:25 says, give your parents joy. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Here's a question. Are you a source of joy for your parents? You know something, you might say, well, wait a minute, my parents are long gone. Do you realize that in the church, you have parents? In the church, you have grandparents. There are some beautiful white-haired people in our congregation. I'm almost old enough to have white hair, but so far, I don't dye it. I'm just very thankful. But you know what? I guess I qualify too. But the fact is this, that it's this attitude that needs to be very, very present. And I have to say, it's one that I see and I love about this church. That is one thing that is distinct about us. And yes, it should continue to be. Because there's not a whole lot of that in our culture right now. Our culture is one of disrespect. Our culture is one that is just all focused on me. But I want to say to those of you who are older, we love you, we respect you, and we appreciate you. And we in our congregation have an opportunity to model and to show honor and to show respect. You know, on Wednesday we had a great opportunity to do that. Many commented that Jim Crawford in November, that Jim was a kind of larger-than-life personality, the life of the party, outgoing, gregarious musician, jazz musician, accordion player, and all of that. And Margaret was meek, she was quiet, she was timid, kind of shy, but she was a prayer warrior. She had a power all of her own. And I was struggling to know what to say as I was preparing for her service. And then the thought occurred to me, I was reminded, and I don't know why I was reminded of this song, but I was reminded of a song that came out in 1988. Most of you know it. It's called The Wind Beneath My Wings. And that motif was just kind of going through my brain for literally, it was almost like 24/7. I'd wake up and it was going through my mind. And through the day, it was going through my mind. I couldn't get the song out of my mind. And so I thought, okay, Lord. And I decided to just develop and build the sermon for the funeral around that theme, that Margaret, in many ways, that's what she was. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter whether you're a mother here this morning, whether you're younger, whatever the context, as we look back on these women and men who brought us into being, and we seek to honor and respect them. We look back, and I think if we look back, we realize that many of them, that's what they were for us. That's what it is to be a parent. It is often to be sacrificial. It's to pour your hearts out. It's to do all kinds of things. You do it, why? Because they are your kids. You know, children, by the way, if you're younger here this morning, moneysense.ca says that in order to raise you from birth to about 18 costs your parents almost $250,000. That is statistically verifiable. Might be shocking, but that's what parents do. That's what parents do. And in doing so, they give us lift. They allow us to soar. They allow us to achieve. And I have modified the words a little bit, but I'm going to invite you to reflect a little. Think of your parents. Think of your mom, if she's living. Think of the memory of your mother, if she's not. And just allow yourself to reflect and to think. And I'm just going to sing this very simple song as a way to sort of honor these very special people in our lives. And then after we do that, we're going to really celebrate and rejoice in our Heavenly Father and in His greatness who has provided so much for us. So allow yourself just to reflect and think as we think of this song.